Good evening. I'll call the meeting of the Board of Education, West Covina Unified School District, March 11th, 2014. Call the meeting to order at 6 o'clock. Is there anybody that would like to speak or public comment regarding any of the closed session items? Hearing none, the board will recess to closed session to confer with legal counsel regarding potential exposure to litigation. The facts and circumstances to be discussed are those as set forth in a letter from Robert Tyler Esquire to Superintendent Deborah Kaplan, dated January 6th, 2014. We will return after closed session. Ladies and gentlemen, I will reconvene the meeting of the Board of Education of West Covina Unified School District. We've come out of closed session and reconvene the meeting at 7:15. We'll begin this meeting's invocation. This meeting with an invocation led by Cami Polis. And oh, wait a minute.
No, that's right. He's
going to
be later.
All right. Thanks. We'll do that. And then, Mr. Flowers, would you lead us in the flag salute, please, this evening? Please rise.
Dear Lord, please be with us tonight as we honor all of the students who did such a wonderful job at their competitions. And as we look at ways to expand what we do for students in our community. And please be with all the teachers and students that they continue to work diligently on their education. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Be seated. Roll call, please.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
Mrs. Polis?
Here.
Ms. Fernanda Jimenez?
Here.
Mr. Flowers?
Here.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Here.
Ms. Cristobal?
Here.
Mrs. Kaplan?
Here.
There was no action taken in closed session this evening, so there is nothing to report, which then gives us the opportunity this evening for some presentations, and we'd like to recognize some of our students in the district tonight. First on our agenda is members of the Academic Decathlon from Edgewood High School.
Yes, and is Craig Michaels here? Okay, Craig. And I don't know if Mr. Cavatori is here as well. Want to come up too? Can't see you. There's such a crowd. Thank you.
We have to speak.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
It's all you, buddy.
Oh, great. Well, good. I'm going to bring up Mr. Lovato, our coach. And also Miss Burnett, our coach. So we're thankful to be here. We're grateful for the recognition and the support that we've received over the years. This year we won first place in the LA County Super Quiz, so we were very thrilled and happy with that. And we finished eighth place overall, which means we're going back to state again for a second year in a row. So. And that's really all I have. I'm really proud of... This is our team. I should add, this is a really, really hardworking team here that put in countless hours, actually dating back to last March, I believe, is when they started studying for this year's decathlon event, so including the summer. So they've worked really hard, and we're excited to see what happens in Sacramento.
And Mr. Cox has right, some.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for the time and effort that you put on on behalf of the children. Tonight we have some proclamations that we'd like to share with the students, if we may. And if I will, I'll read this. Okay. The Board of Education wishes to recognize Benjamin Lin for his bronze in music, history, speech in the 2014 Academic Decathlon.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next we have Eric Lamb. He's a participant in the 2014 Academic Decathlon.
Stand up here.
What's that? Okay. Oh, yeah. You can do that. Daniel Nguyen. Dan, you got a silver in essay, bronze in interview. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Gabriel Rodriguez. Gabriel received a gold in history and in interview. Congratulations. Alan Aguirre. Congratulations. Alan received a gold in music, silver in interview, a bronze in art and literature. Well diverse. Nicholas Campos. Nicholas received a silver in interview. Maxwell Cerón. Received a bronze in art and speech. Russell Fahayan, there you go, thank you. Russell was a participant on the team. Congratulations, thank you for your effort. Eric Fan. Eric received the silver in essay. Dominique Oy?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Darren Lamb? Darren Lamb's not here this evening? Okay. Anali Torres? Anali. Participant in the team. Alexis Megodina. She's not here. All right. Again, a participant with the team. And Ricky Lias. Lias. And a participant with the team. Congratulations. And that's it for tonight. Thank you very much, all of you.
Sitting.
Some of them are staying.
All right, next on the agenda is the recognition of our model continuation high school, Coronado High School.
I want to give a little introduction that this was a very competitive process. The high school had to write a very thorough application. There was a site visit, and they were selected as one of our model continuation high schools for 2014, and we're just so proud of you, the principal, your faculty, your staff, your students. It's always a pleasure to go visit you, but it's a remarkable accomplishment.
Thank you. Thank you. You just did my whole speech. I can sit down now. As Superintendent Kaplan said, the process, well, first of all, I want to say I'm honored to be principal at Coronado. And I thank all of you for that opportunity because I couldn't think of a better job to have. It's not even a job. It's something I enjoy every day. But the process was, as she explained, a visitation team very similar to what WASC does when they come out and they read your application and make sure that you're really doing all the things that you say you're doing. And two things that really stood out to the visiting team, one was that the whole school has bought into our focus of everybody learning, everybody working on credit recovery, and everybody working toward graduation. So the whole student, staff, everyone has bought into that focus. And secondly, what they said was that our staff has created what is a safe place for students to come. It's students feel valued when they're at Coronado, and students are engaged. And it makes me feel very proud to have my staff, both classified and certificated, please stand so you can be recognized. Thank you. And when we do have our staff meetings, we call ourselves a team. We are not a family because there's too much dysfunction in families. So we are a team. We are a true team. But the most important thing that the team that came to do the visitation said was they couldn't believe the kind of students we had at Coronado. Because when you hear continuation school students, you think, oh my gosh, these kids, how do you ever work with these kids? Well, I wouldn't have it any other way. So, and I could go on and on and on about how great our kids are, but I thought the best thing to do was to bring two of my students tonight to speak and to tell you what Coronado has meant to them and to maybe give you a better insight into what it's like to be a Coronado student. So first I'd like to bring up senior Reshinae Young.
Good evening. Mr. President, board members, Superintendent Kaplan, Cabinet, and the West Covina Unified School District community, my name is Reshinae Young, and I stand here tonight representing the students at Coronado High School, a model school. This school is a community that provides comfort to students with diverse backgrounds. It is one of the few places that have always provided support for my fellow students and I, academically and personally. This past year has been extremely difficult for me. I have lost a wonderful grandfather to cancer, and my family lost our home. In an attempt to reclaim our lives from the pain of our past, we moved to Missouri. Academically, it did not suit my needs, so I then made the decision to leave Missouri by myself and return home to California. Moving 2,000 miles away from my mother, the woman who raised me, and the little brother who grew up beside me was the most difficult thing that I have ever had to do. But when I boarded that flight on the morning of September 18th, 2013, I knew that I would not see my family for a long time. Although it hurt, I had reassurance that it would be better for my future if I returned home to California. I had my family, friends, and school to look forward to. The most important goals in my near future are to recover credits while learning, graduate, and move on to college. I one day hope to attend Humboldt University in Northern California. Without all of the teachers and staff members at Coronado, I would not be where I'm headed in life. I would not have traveled to the University of New Mexico with LA Works for 2 weeks for a college prep program, nor would I have my internship at Parents Place. Coronado is a place where all students have the opportunity to show what they have to offer despite what struggles they've endured, to show our true potential even when traditional high schools didn't work for us. But most importantly, Coronado is there to support us when we gave up on ourselves. Because of this school, I have now acquired the tools necessary to turn my life around and to surrender my struggles to the past and accept success into my future. My school is a wonderful learning institution, and I am extremely proud to say that I will be graduating from Coronado High School, a model school. I thank all of you for the continuing support and for giving us a second chance.
Another one of our students, we had a great art show that we just did, and part of the art show was a spoken word portion. And if you get behind me in the hallway, some of our art is displayed there. A lot of that work is done by the person I'm going to introduce next, and he also did a spoken piece that I wanted to share with you to also let you know that there are lots of talents at Coronado. So I'd like to introduce Senior Eddie Vo.
Well, that was a beautiful introduction by a beautiful girl, and thank you, Rishne. I wanted to write this poem to sort of disillusion people's perception about the school that I attend, and I just want to spread this message that I think everybody in this room share, and that is every kid deserves a second chance, and that every kid has potential. So, yeah, enough about me.
This a long time, and it never ever ceases to amaze me what we're able to accomplish at Coronado School. Thank you very much for being here. Congratulations on all the school. Well deserved.
Thank you, everybody, and now you know why I love my job.
I also just want to comment that Eddie is, we've commissioned Eddie, he's quite an artist, and we've commissioned him to do a mural for our Ed Services Department. Wow. Could we get a picture with all our teachers up here as well?
And staff?
And staff? Teachers and staff, please? And students?
Thank you very much for that. Our next item on our agenda is a presentation from the City of West Covina, Chris Freeland, regarding the Orangewood Soccer Park Complex. And I believe, is there an overhead projector?
Wow, I don't have a wrap prepared at all. Eddie, I need your help, please. Well, I'm definitely not, so good evening, everyone. My name is Chris Freeland. I'm the Deputy City Manager and the Director of Community Services for the City of West Covina. A couple weeks ago, I had the pleasure of sitting down with Superintendent Kaplan to try and explain to her some of the upcoming projects that are happening here in the city. One of the comments that I made to her is, in the past, I don't believe the city has made a great effort reaching out to the school board or invited you to participate in some of our activities. And so tonight we're going to share with you a project that our city council has approved last year that we're trying to move forward. But in addition, as part of that outreach, we shared with the superintendent about publicizing some of your achievements. And so, for example, I have a copy of the newest Discover newsletter. It's right now this is the draft copy of it. For all of you family members, that we will have a picture and a little excerpt in there about the academic decathlon winners. So we're excited about that. And then I just presented my card over to the folks at Coronado. We'd love to have them at an upcoming city council meeting to be recognized for being a model continuation school. It's things like that that the city should be doing a better job of. And so tonight we wanted to share with you one of the projects that are occurring here in the city. As many of you know, Orangewood Park is right next door. You share a parking lot with one of our city facilities. It has had some issues over the last, I'd say, a couple of years. We've been trying to work closely with the police department, the maintenance folks, with issues over the skate park, as well as the park itself. One of the things that we are hopeful and optimistic about is the completion of the soccer complex will bring more attention to that park, bring more activity to that park, and hopefully get rid of some of that bad element that we're all trying to get rid of. I am joined by Art Ballion, who's the president of West Covina Youth Soccer. They are a partner with the City of West Covina in this project. This is a project that started back in 2008. This was done by a group of community involvement members, the school board, West Covina Youth Soccer, the city, California Street Hockey that has their facility next door, and other partners to try and develop a master plan for a soccer complex. As all of you are quite aware, the folks at West Covina Youth Soccer do not have a home on a city park or facility. They depend on you, the school district, to provide them their playing facility. So on behalf of the city, we're very appreciative for those 1,000 kids in our community that are playing West Covina Youth Soccer. So as this group got together, we had public hearings, public meetings, to develop what we call the Park Master Plan Number 4. So after four renditions, we hopefully finally got it right for a design of our new park over next door at Orangewood. And what you see in the PowerPoint that's been provided as well on the screen behind you is a redesign of the north edges, or the north part of our community park. There on the very bottom, in the grayish there, is a parking lot. Just below that is actually the California hockey arenas and facilities that are there currently. Okay. So what the city is looking to do is to actually remove the current baseball diamond that's out there right now, and then begin the construction of a soccer complex to create a home for West Covina Youth Soccer. So the improvements that are being proposed is a large lighted soccer field with a smaller lighted soccer field for potentially practices or for the younger children to play. On the larger field, what's nice about that is it's that when the older kids aren't playing it, it provides opportunities for a lot of little league or little programs to be out there playing, so we can get a lot of teams out there. The project includes a new park benches, picnic shelters, additional parking area, walking path around the park. We're finding a lot of our parks, there's a lot of interest to go out there, do exercise, walk around, hopefully in a safe environment. And then also additional restrooms. And then, of course, the important thing is ball control netting. So as they kick the soccer balls, they don't go over the fence into the private development over there to the east. And so here's some pictures of some of the designs that we're looking to do, and including the playground design, which is going to be a soccer-themed playground. As you see new parks being built in West Covina, what is really exciting is we're trying to create a theme at each of our parks. Part of that is to force people to go from one part of town to another part of town and to get them away from their local park. So everybody knows at Palmview Park, no one knows it's Palmview, it's Airplane Park, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we redesigned that, we put in new playground amenities. We made sure to leave the airplane there, but I'll tell you, when we were under construction at that park, we got a lot of phone calls from people saying, please don't take the airplane. At Del Norte, we did something similar. We created rocket ships. Here, we were looking to do a soccer-themed one. At Walmerado Park, we are doing a partnership right now with Macy's, where anybody from March 7th through March 31st has an opportunity to make a donation towards Walmerado Park. It is our plan to break ground on a brand new playground that is a baseball-themed park, our playground at Walmerado, this summer. So as we have these opportunities with partnerships with community or grant opportunities, we're really excited about bringing these new amenities to the community. Okay, so how does this thing get built? Well, the total project is going to cost a little over $5 million potentially. And that includes the actual construction, design, and construction management. And in the city, we receive what's called park development fees. As new housing projects are developed in West Covina, they pay a portion of a fee into a kitty that can only be used for capital improvements at our city parks. Right now, the city is awaiting a pretty large deposit of probably $2 to $2.5 million from Lennar Homes, who is building a 450-unit complex there at the old Wix site. So for those of you who don't know, Wix is now gone, that building. It's been demolished. And so now we have a new housing development going in there. Okay, now that is important to us because of those monies, but it's also important to you as a school district because now you're going to have all these families that you're going to be serving there at that facility. So that's why communication between the city and the school district is important, because that is going to impact your enrollment at your schools. So what we're looking to do is in the first phase is the construction of the fields and the lighting and the irrigation system. We want to build the guts of the facility. The second phase is going to be the expansion of the parking lot, because as you know, we're going to have a lot of soccer kids over there, and so that's going to cause a big draw of parking. That's going to mean people are going to be parking on the street. They're going to be parking across the street over at Edgewood. And so we want to try and accommodate that expanded use. One of the discussions that's coming up over our city council meeting, as well as in public meetings, is concern about pedestrian crossing. And so that has been made to our attention. And as we move forward on the design of the complex, we will be taking that into consideration. Because I would imagine if Johnny's playing soccer over at Edgewood and his brother Bobby's across the street, Mom and Dad are going to be rocking back and forth with the kids at the different soccer fields. And so that's something of concern that we want to make sure that we address. And then lastly is the additional park improvements and the playgrounds. So here's a proposed timeline that we're looking to do. Again, we're looking to have that deposit of those major funds from that Lennar Homes project this summer, actually. We're hoping that will be deposited in May or June. The Lennar project is currently in the third plan check review, so we're optimistic that they're going to be moving forward, and they have a strong interest to get this developed quickly. So we were excited about that. The first thing the city needs to do is we need to hire an architect. The drawings you saw up there is just kind of a site plan of where we want to put everything, but now we need the actual construction drawings. So that project, we are going to do a request for proposals, which we hope to send out to the development community within the next 60 to 90 days to have them come back with a proposal to actually design the construction drawing. So when the big dollars come in, we can go ahead and start construction. And those funds we hope to have here actually, like I said, the next 60 or 90 days, be able to put that out there. Once those construction drawings are completed, and assuming we have the funds in from Lennar, we are hoping to have a groundbreaking sometime later this year or early next year. So we're very optimistic about doing so. And we're looking to do at least phase one as part of the first part of the construction. If funds of it are allowing, maybe to do phase two, we'll do that as well. We'll probably bid out construction for phase one and just have an option, say, how much more for phase two, just depending on what type of money we have in the coffers at the time we actually go out to the award of bid. And so you'll see that we'll repeat each of the processes depending on how the funds come in for that project. Part of this is because you have been a partner with the community over the years, whether it be across the street at the municipal pool. We work very closely with school district staff to make sure that that's properly maintained as a facility that both the city utilizes for our recreation programs, but you are able to use it for your water polo programs. We have a great relationship with Edgewood High School, who allows us every year to take over their school and allow us to do a great community event, our 4th of July celebration. So as we look at those partnerships, well, of course, I can't come here not off. Ask for if the school district wants to be a partner in this project like we've done on so many. If there is an interest, I'm sure you can present that to Superintendent Kaplan. The city staff would be more than happy to come back, meet with you as well as part as we move forward. That really concludes my presentation, unless there's any questions. Certainly.
Thank you so much for the proposal and the presentation.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yes.
Is that only youth compliant or adult soccer compliant as well?
Older children, how old are it?
It'll be the size of the field would accommodate adults.
Okay.
So it would be big enough for the adults, and also what Mr. Freeman was saying about the younger age groups, during the times where we're not using it, the full size of the fields, we could do it all diagonal and use the allow the younger kids to play on the field.
Okay. I asked that because when we started to expand Edgewood, we had to eliminate the adult soccer groups.
Correct.
I wasn't sure if this was big enough for them to interface or not at all. Is it only going to be?
Well, no, that's part of what Mr. Bally and I and the school districts mentioned is that as part of these partnerships, there's going to be times the fields aren't being used where the students over at Edgewood or West Covina High or other schools can utilize these fields as well. And so that's why we want to look at those partnerships. Part of the difficulties we have had as a city is we also have these rogue soccer groups that show up and start taking over our parks, to be honest. And so, unfortunately, our facilities aren't designed for the heavy use like that, like you might have at the Edgewood soccer field. So some of those older groups we've been, unfortunately, had to shoo away and try to find places because as soccer keeps growing, they keep trying to find little squares or spots here and there in our city parks for them to have practices. Yes.
Is that going to be a mile and a half mile?
That's a great question. I do not know.
Only because parents, you know, we can recommend it. We can
certainly.
Take your children, walk around. It's a mile. Like Edgewood's exactly a mile.
So right.
That would.
And I hear there's a lot of walking groups that utilize that too. I will say the city does have a walking guide for a majority of our parks that have different traces of tracks that you can do with different distances. So if anybody ever wants a walking guide, we have plenty of them at City Hall. But that does provide a lot of the measurements that you're looking for. Yep.
Mr. Flowers.
Yes, I have one question now.
Yes, sir.
You guys, would you still be able to use Edgewood for your practice facilities and other schools also when you get this complex?
Well, that's the hope because as you may be aware, soccer keeps continuing to grow in our
yes.
community. I think the founding fathers of West Covina really made a choice years ago that West Covina was to be a baseball community. Baseball was very popular in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, so it was really designed for a baseball community. So you really don't see the opportunity, other than really at this facility, to do a soccer complex anywhere in our city parks because of the amount of land we would need.
Now, also, when you have those other community people come in and use your parks, your soccer field. Do you ever have a problem with getting those people out?
For the most part, they're pretty good about it. I think the schools probably have difficulties every once in a while with rogue groups trying to sneak onto the campuses. But we do have a pretty good permit process that's run through our administration, our sports council, which is our governing body over our different groups.
But I'd like to commend you guys. I know Mr. Valen is my neighbor, but, you know, you guys have done an outstanding job.
Thank you very much.
Just a question about the sketch.
Yes.
It looks like the parking lot's going to go all the way back towards the wash.
It will, yes.
Right now, the turnaround there is almost impossible if there's cars. Are you widening that?
We will be. As you can see through the drawings, actually, let me bring that back, actually. It makes it a bit easier. Oops. As you can see, especially on the parking lot there on the south side, that doesn't exist right now. Right there is actually part of the baseball diamonds. So that will be widened to add additional parking there. And then as you look over there towards the west, there will be some expansion there into the current park itself now too. That's where some of the design is being completed as part of this architectural design and drawing. Because as we do parking, we have to be able to turn a fire truck around it. So if someone can't turn their car around, the fire truck won't be able to do so. When we design our facilities or new housing projects are done, they have to be able to allow a fire truck, if there's vehicles in the way, to be able to turn around and get out of there.
So this design will be able to accommodate. I can't tell by the
sketch. Of course not. No, this is really just to give you a perspective of what it'll look like out there.
And right now, the parking lots are overfilled just with baseball and hockey.
Correct.
Especially if both of them are having tournaments. Are they going to try to work out their tournament schedules? And sometimes that's not always possible.
Sometimes it is impossible. But now baseball, of course, will no longer be here That's correct. What we've done is, for a good example, is over at Maverick Field and Ridge Riders Arena. We have agreements to try and coordinate their tournaments for baseball and the use for equestrian shows to try and not do it the same weekends. When it does exactly that. It creates those difficulties for parking, especially when you have the equestrian units with their trailers too.
Right.
And so we've partnered with, like, in that instance, with Valencia Water to use some of their property for parking.
Well, I know one of the things you'll probably be wanting to partner with us is for a parking lot, because that's what you do now, even for the skating.
For the skate rink, correct.
And is the skating... The
roller hockey?
No, not the roller hockey.
The skate park. Yes.
That's going to stay intact.
It is. Yes. Okay. Because some of the difficulties we've had out there is now under police management, and they've been closing it at 5 o'clock in the evening right now as some enforcement activities to try and hopefully create and clean up the bad element that's been over there in the last few months.
And then once the facility is running, the dream facility is all
correct
up and running, would that skate park be open longer hours then, because you've already had it cleaned up?
The skate park itself, technically it's open until, I believe, 10 o'clock as it is, because it is a lighted park facility. It's just we've been closing it earlier because of the issues.
Okay. And you talked about partnerships.
Yes.
What would you be coming to us with? I mean, you said like we could go with to Mrs. Kaplan and
right.
tell her what we would like to partner with.
Sure.
But what are some of the ideas that you were hoping that this school district will partner with?
Sure. Thank you for that. That's a great question. It's similar to what we have over at the pool. The city itself provides the maintenance of the facility, but we share the cost 50-50 with the facility and ongoing capital costs that may be out there. In exchange, of course, you folks are out there for your water and swimming programs, and we help provide the maintenance of the facility and the operations. On the city's end, we are able to provide, when you folks aren't using it, we do recreational swimming. So during the summer, we have our swim classes to teach people how to swim. We have special events there. People rent the pool for birthday parties and whatnot. So there's a variety of things that we do and those type of partnerships to try and offset our costs. In this situation, it'd really be up to the school board and the school management or school district management to see what needs that this could help provide them, too, for playing fields.
Well, would the city be offering us money to utilize our fields?
I'm not sure. To be honest, the city, I don't believe, uses your fields. It's a different sports groups.
Right. But you were saying that you're going to do this big complex and mm-hmm. you're hoping to partnership with us. And that right now we are offering our school fields
absolutely.
As part of this complex, I believe, because you named the other schools in here on something I read. So would it go both ways?
Well, I think we do a lot of partnerships with the school district now.
But not on this. We wouldn't expect any revenue from this. You would be one.
To be honest, I don't see the city getting any revenue from this, to be honest. This is it'd be a park playground in a facility where soccer will have a home and facility. It's not so, for example, our youth groups in our community, all the baseball and soccer and football groups, they do not pay to use our fields.
Right.
Those are all free to the public. And so that would be the same situation here. But now if they have a tournament or an outside group wants to rent the facility, that might be a little different.
Because and this isn't here, but I know that the city and school district are going to have a meeting, which I'm not on that committee.
It's actually tomorrow, to
yes.
be honest, yes.
And they're going to be talking about some of the joint use things that we do and, like, opening our bathrooms on Saturdays. We are on a limited budget.
Yes.
And we would have to pay staff to open those bathrooms.
Correct.
So those are the kind of things that we have to look at when we're planning. And
you're definitely not alone. And so when groups use our facilities, you know, it's hard for us to come up with the out-of-pocket expenses, which would be, in your situation, to open up those bathrooms. And so in those instances, I believe they have done that in the past, but it's been the responsibility of the league to manage that and to potentially pay for those costs.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
I have nothing to report out. Anybody else on the Board of Education?
Yes, I do. Coronado, amazing art show. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Either I was there. I loved Eddie's poem the night that he did it. So I commend Coronado and all the students. It was great to see their artwork. I'm glad you have some of it out here. I wanted to let the board know and the audience the East San Gabriel ROP on March the 26th at 10 a.m. is going to have a free veterans tax preparation. So if you know any veterans that are in the community, again, it's March the 26th at 10 a.m. and it's going to be at Del Norte. So it's going to be completely free for the veterans. I also want to thank Edgewood for hosting the LCAP meeting and the staff. You did a really good job. That was so interactive. It was great to hear from the community. Thank you for opening your doors and hosting us, Edgewood. The college fair at Hollencrest was awesome. The kids researched different colleges, private colleges, public colleges like UCs and Cal States, and the community colleges. They had to completely research them, create a brochure, and pitch it to their other students in Hollencrest over the course of I think, three-hour window. Did an excellent job. I asked the teacher to give me some samples, and I have forwarded it along to other school board members in other districts. I was so impressed. The kids were so knowledgeable. Some of them came in suits and ties, and they were ready. It was an excellent one, and I was really impressed. I have gifts for my colleagues here on the board. I went to the CSBA LCFF workshop, and I brought folders for everyone. Let's see, here's three. CSBA did an excellent job. This is their PowerPoint. And then I brought one for you, Debbie, if you need one. This is their PowerPoint that they did with LCFF with all the latest updates. So you have that there. And one of the things that was interesting was we did have the question whether or not the board should participate on an LCFF subcommittee. And the lawyers said better to just observe. Better to not participate, but instead go observe, listen unfiltered to the dialogue that's taking place. So I pass that along because I think that was probably the question that got the most discussion. And was probably new to the group. So I know we haven't discussed that, but that was something that we as a board haven't discussed that or either with Debbie. But there were other board members that wanted to be a part of the group.
and that was what the lawyer had recommended. Don't be a part of the subcommittee, just observe. So you can take a look at that. It's excellent information. All the staff has made themselves available to all of the members. Edgewood, your open house was great. You all did a really, really good job, and your presentation and your recruitment to the students was really good. I stayed and watched that too. And then a reminder to my colleagues here on the board as well as the audience, on March the 22nd at 1 p.m. at Baldwin Park Performing Arts Center, we're going to have our CSBA Education Summit. And thanks to Mr. Freeland for putting that in the Discover West Covina. That is for all of Region 23, which goes Pasadena, Baldwin Park, us here in West Covina, Walnut. We're a pretty big region, Claremont, Pomona. So if anybody is interested in Common Core and how Common Core applies to college and career, that's what we're going to be taking a look at. So that's 2 hours from 1 to 3, and Ms. Kaplan is going to be one of our presenters as well. We have people from the business community, from the community college community. We have lots of great representatives. So we encourage teachers, parents, students, the community to come. And that's it.
Thank you. Student representative report.
Coronado High School. Coronado had a very successful art show with some great artwork and spoken word exhibits. Thank you to Ms. Miranda Jimenez for attending. All of our students have now done a practice version of the new state test in anticipation of the actual test. KC exam is coming up, and we will offer after-school tutoring for all students. Our softball team continues to dominate in our league. We are an official California model school and will be honored at the state conference on May 2nd. There are only 23 continuation schools statewide that were given this honor this year. West Covina High School. West Covina High School is proud to announce Open House 2014. Our community will have the opportunity to visit classrooms, get information about our AP and honors program, see performances in the gym, visit our annual art show in the media center, and enjoy tons of attractions in the quad of the school. We will also be hosting our 8th grade parent orientation in the gym from 6:30 to 7. Our instructional focus continues to be on our transition to Common Core standards, and this Friday's professional development will focus on scoring and evaluating smarter balance type student work samples. We are also in the midst of preparing for CAASP state testing, and our focus there is ensuring our technology is prepared to handle testing. West Covina High School students continue to shine. We sent 32 students to compete at this year's History Day in the exhibit website, historical paper, and documentary categories. Two of our projects won at the county level and will be competing at the state championships this April. Congratulations to sophomore Christian Gomez and his website on the Pian Rights Under the Porfirado, exploring the impact that the Mexican Revolution had on peasants. Also, congratulations to juniors Julie Vu, Maggie Huynh, Shelley Du, Michael Quintero, and Catherine Tong on their winning exhibit examining Harry Truman's decision to drop the atomic bomb on Japan in 1945. Spring sports have officially begun, and we anticipate a good season for baseball, softball, volleyball, track, swim, tennis, and golf. Edgewood High School. Students are gearing up for the KC. On Monday, there will be an assembly to build momentum. Tuesday and Wednesday are the test. We expect great results again this year. Travel Club will hold an informational dinner meeting next week to prepare for their trip to China. It will include video documentaries about the sites they will be visiting, as well as a crash course in survival Mandarin. Cheer has been invited to nationals and is registered to attend this event in Anaheim on March 28th. Interact is working with Rotary on some mini projects. They are also building a Relay for Life team for the May 31st event. The EHS Alumni Association will be holding a dance on Saturday, March 22nd. $5 admission includes appetizers. There will be a silent auction. All proceeds will go toward their EHS scholarship fund. The EHS Alumni Association is looking for volunteers to present at their third annual career day, scheduled for April 30. If interested in participating, just call the counseling department at EHS. Choir will hold their spring concerts on Saturday, March 22nd, in the multi-purpose room at Edgewood. Girls' choir will perform at 4:30. Concert choir will perform at 6 o'clock. Cheer will sponsor our first Mr. Edgewood contest on Friday, March 21st at 7 o'clock in the multi-purpose room. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is items from the floor and public comment. I appreciate your patience and as we went through our agenda, so now is the opportunity for the public to address the board. Our first speaker this evening is Andy Sunstrom. Did he leave? I saw him here earlier. There it is.
Sorry about that.
Just a minute. Just a minute. I'll
go ahead. Oh, you're having? Okay. Well, I worked in a school district for 13 years, so I do have a playground voice if necessary. So, may I go ahead?
Absolutely. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. So, my name is Andrew Sunstrom, and I'm the labor relations rep from the California School Employees Association. And West Covina is one of my districts that I'm assigned to. I come before the board this evening to express some discontent with the status of our negotiations, our contract negotiations. CSEA West Covina Chapter 91 has been in negotiations for the past few months with the district and has exchanged proposals on numerous occasions. Our discontent stems from the lack of any movement on our proposals we consider very vital to our members. Those being Article 17, service increment, Article 15, hours and overtime, in addition to our proposal on compensation and benefits. We believe that we have given reasonable proposals to the district and a justification for the nexus behind our proposals. Now, I'm not here to negotiate with the board, and I have no intention of negotiating with the board. However, if the board requests, or if any one of you should request, I can make a copy of our most recent proposal available for your review. Nor will I get into the details of Article 17 or 15 this evening. But in regards to compensation, our idea with that is, as presented, takes an account for the possibility of deficit spending, but also considers the new and additional funding provided by the state. In a nutshell, if the expenditures exceed revenues, no raise. It's as simple as that. I think it's pretty clear in there. We're not in the interest of bankrupting our employer. I mean, nobody has that type of interest, at least I hope. But on the flip side, if revenues exceed expenditures, that adds to the ending balance there, well, we expect a certain percentage. And we put that in our proposal. We don't believe it's unreasonable. We're not asking for the entire amount. We're asking for what is equal to what the bargaining unit represents against the budget already. I've also heard some talk that because of the high ending balance, West Covina Unified School District has not had any furlough days or layoffs. Now, as for layoffs, this is not entirely factual. Okay, we have had classified employees affected by layoffs. As for furlough days, I work with five other school districts. The majority of them have not had furlough days either, and none of them have as high of an ending balance as this district. Okay, so what we're asking for is for a fair contract. What we've presented is reasonable. We're ready to negotiate, but we need to have some progress here. We're getting nothing back, okay, in these areas that I've described. And what was recently proposed, the 1%, all my other school districts with less ending balance have provided more than that, already provided more. So other than that, I have nothing further to state. Thank you.
Karen Mendoza.
Good evening. My name is Karen Mendoza, and I have enjoyed my position as the office manager at Coronado High School for nearly 20 years. At the last board meeting, Mr. Bagy spoke very eloquently on behalf of the teachers' union in response to the district's counterproposal of a 1% salary increase for teachers. I support everything he said. Ms. Van Eyck and other teachers spoke in response as well, and I support everything they said. Tonight, I have a burden on my heart to convey my thoughts with regard to the classified union negotiations. On Tuesday, March 4th, 2014, the district counterproposed to CSEA with a 1% salary increase retroactive to July 1st, 2013, and a 1% increase effective July 1st, 2014. This negligible amount in the district's counterproposal has bruised my soul and saddened my spirit. There may be people in this room who have forgotten or maybe never experienced working in a classroom, on a school campus, or at the district office. I respectfully ask that you lend me your ear for just a moment. Many classified personnel work collaboratively with teachers to educate our students and provide them with the needed support. Many of us are dedicated to helping our high school students graduate and become prepared for college and the world of work, regardless of our job title. We mend our students' skinned knees, clean them up after a fight, and administer their medications. We are diligent in making sure that each campus and the district office is well maintained and cleaned daily. We work in all aspects of feeding our students a healthy and balanced diet while in our care. We are the people to whom many parents and guardians trust every day with their precious cargo on our school buses. We are many times confronted with and asked to handle discipline issues from students of all ages with varying degrees of hostility, emotional, and mental health issues. We are on the front line to keep our campuses safe for students, staff, and visitors, and listen to angry parents and guardians or offer a sympathetic ear. We are the backbone of the district's technology infrastructure, and more recently providing assistance for a smooth transition to the new Smarter Balance testing process. We work with vendors and contractors to procure supplies and services to meet the needs of all students and staff. Both certificated and classified staff have been instrumental in the process of schools achieving the status of National Blue Ribbon School, California Distinguished School, and Model Continuation High School, all of which everyone in this room boasts about. We work cooperatively with students, parents, guardians, social workers, and probation officers to get our students to school each day and keep them in school. As everyone is aware, the more our students are in their seats and remain in their seats, the more our school district will be paid. Along with the certificated staff, classified employees have shown respect towards the district over the last several years by not asking for a salary adjustment. We have endured through these hardships and placed our personal needs to the side while graciously remaining patient for this economic upturn. With all due respect, I would like to articulate what a 1% salary increase looks like and will use my monthly salary to do so. Keeping in mind that I have been at the same title for nearly 20 years, so for many of my fellow classified employees who are lower on the pay scale, this 1% increase will be considerably less. A 1% increase applied to my monthly salary equates to $39.71. That amount is, of course, before taxes. To all of you before me, I humbly ask that you search your hearts and ask yourselves these questions. How valued and respected would you feel if your employer offered you a monthly increase of $39.71 before taxes? How would you feel knowing that your employer deemed it acceptable that $39.71 per month before taxes is the way to convey how much they value and respect you, the work you perform both on and off the clock, and your personal contributions to your job? And lastly, how valued and respected would you feel after dedicating your time and energy, jumping through the necessary hoops during the negotiations process, all the while being ignored on this subject, only to be offered $39.71 before taxes? We are dedicated, valuable, caring people who are worthy of your respect. Thank you for your time.
Good evening, everybody. My name is David Godinez, and I'm from Holland Crest Middle School. I teach social studies, and we all love our jobs, but I want to talk a little bit about Common Core and the pay raise. 1%, that's a 1% investment into our students. Common Core means more work, but it also should mean more pay, because the rules of the game are being changed, but the pay is not being changed. Common Core represents a change in education. I completely agree, and I see it, but I don't see a change in my paycheck. So I do believe more work should equal more pay. And I don't call that Common Core, I call it common sense. Because the families, our kids, we don't eat Common Core. I didn't have a plate of Common Core tonight. We have to eat, just like everybody else does. And sometimes I feel like our colas are being held hostage. And that's not right. It's not right. The good book says that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And I don't see a lot of people rejoicing here tonight. I don't. So to me, it's a very emotional topic. But at the same time, I think West Covina, there's a lot of positives. And I think we're about celebrating positives in the West Covina community. And I know that we can negotiate for a brighter future, definitely. And so, as a reminder, I think we are all public servants, not public serve us. That's all. Thank you.
Dan Woodward.
Hi, my name is Dan Woodward. I'm a teacher and a coach at West Covina High School. I've been with the district for 18 years. And while it is true that the teachers at West Covina High School really do love their jobs and love the kids at the school, what is not true is that we're entirely satisfied with our salary structure. My wife, who works for Ontario Montclair School District, and she's been there for 18 years also, her salary structure is basically the same as ours. They are getting a 5% increase in pay this year and an additional 5% increase next year. What is not really cool is that now she's going to be making more money than me. Thank you.
Melanie Jones.
Good evening. My name is Melanie Jones. I'm a special ed teacher over at Walnut Grove Intermediate. And I want to kind of just share with you what I do. I have the biggest caseload I've had in 8 years. I have 27 students with 2 pending, and I'm on that campus as a RSP teacher, well, you know, education specialist, for 4 hours and 14 minutes before I get any help from another special ed teacher. We have a part-timer that does come on campus the last 2 periods of the day, but I'm there mostly by myself. And, you know, I hear we haven't had layoffs. But that's because there's no one really left to lay off, at least at Walnut Grove. And I'm a little concerned about that. And, I mean, it's concerning because, you know, we need to service our students. You know, I have 37 kids on that campus for 4 hours and 14 minutes where I have to make sure behavior plans are addressed. You know, their services are being given. Accommodations are being followed. You know, problems arise. And they have to call on me, you know, to be there and to answer questions regarding IEPs and legal documents. And I'm really happy to be there, and I love my job. But I realize that this is 63% of the day, and it's a little bit concerning that we have that. And yet I hear, you know, that there's not enough, I guess, reason for another teacher to be coming onto our campus full time. And you know, on my own, in addition to all of that, I seek out grants for my students. You know, I run the Box Tops initiatives because no one stepped up. I stepped up to do that. And I'm counting those things at night on my own time. I spend countless hours, you know, grading, planning, calling parents. You know, I assist in organizing these students. You know, my students need a lot of help with, you know, assignments. You know, they have a really tough time. And, you know, I don't receive any extra compensation for that. Our job is so much more than teaching. And I assist, you know, these families. I serve them. I get them supplies. I spend a lot of my own money on trying just to find, you know, positive incentives for them, you know, trying to get these kids motivated on a daily basis, you know, with food or whatever we have to do, you know, to get them to work. I understand the district has had a lot to deal in the last 8 years with uncertain times. I remember that. But we've all stepped up, and we've all not asked for a raise until to now. And I think I'm also going to strive and to perform my job well. I'm going to continue to do that. I'm going to continue to serve these families. But I also have to think that I can't help but face the reality that I have to deal with, you know, this of making ends meet, of dealing with that issue of making ends meet. My productivity, or the productivity at our site, is higher than it's ever been, but yet I don't have the compensation. My husband works for Montebello Unified. He's a math teacher. He's worked there for 17 years. They just received a raise. They've had no layoffs, and I think they've had 2 furlough days, but they've gotten their 5%. So they're going to get 2% and then an additional 3%. You know, he asked me to look up the ratio of teacher income versus housing income. And so we kind of looked at that. We compared 1975 with today. And then looking at that, what we found was that the teacher's salary averaged 1/3 of the cost of the house. So basically you could afford in your budget 30%. Towards housing. Nowadays, you can afford 14%. And I was shocked to find that we are just half of what we were in 1975. The cost of living for a teacher is not adjusted when it comes to pay versus housing. My housing is going up, my food, my gas. I have a 14-year-old. That's a lot of money. Cost of owning a car, all these things are rising. And, you know, I'm also one of, you know, in my family depends on us, myself, especially to contribute. You know, I have aging parents. I have a sibling who is older. He's not well. He has a heart condition. You know, and these are the responsibilities that are put on top of everything that we do. So I just would like you to consider that, you know, the people behind the everyday work, you know, that we have real issues and generally do work our hardest. And you know, have a heart for these kids. And I will continue again to do the job, even if, you know, doesn't come to be that we have the raise. However, you know, that it's something that I think would benefit our kids, because there is a connection between teacher conditions and achievement. If you look around, I looked at also, you know, other surrounding districts. When I saw my husband. His district, they actually compensate a teacher with a BA plus 30 units at 6 years. It's compensated $62,100. And then there's Charter Oak was $60,551. South Pasadena, $55,265. They were closest to us. Our pay is $54,486, I believe, from what I saw in their salary schedule. But I just want to leave you with that note and consider, you know, all that we do for our kids every day. Thank you.
Brenda Salas.
I'm going to keep it short and sweet since it's way past my daughter's bedtime. My name is Brenda Salas, and I teach at Holland Crest. I teach 6th grade science. My job description states that I'm a classroom teacher, but
I'm not only that. I'm a Right From the Beginning and Beyond trainer. I'm a member of the leadership committee, a member of the technology committee, a member of the curriculum development team for literacy. I'm on the school site council. I'm a union rep. I do all this. I teach an extra period, and like I said, I have a 16-month-old daughter waiting for me at home. I don't do it for fun. I do it because I love my job and I love the teacher and the students, but I also love to get paid for what I do. I like to be involved because I have passion for making sure my students are getting the best education they deserve, but I'm also passionate about the integrity of my profession and being valued for all that I do that goes above and beyond my job description. This is my fourth year teaching with the district, and I've observed that many of my colleagues are just like me, as you've seen tonight. We all tend to go above and beyond. We continually work outside our classroom to help ensure the success of our students and our district in this uncertain time. As we venture into Common Core, we embrace the challenges that need to be made in and out of the classroom. Without our hard work, I don't feel this district would be as prepared for the new standards as we are. Without our hard work, I don't think we would be getting all these awards and recognitions from the community. I know next week we're supposed to be here for another award that Hall and Crest has received. Well, I believe a lot of that recognition comes from the teachers' hard work. Without our hard work, our students would not be receiving the best education possible. And I believe our hard work should be recognized by the district, and that 1% is an insult to all the work that we have done this past year. We are professionals that deserve a fair and living wage and affordable health benefits. The federal government has recognized the need for these necessities, so I wonder why my own district has not. I hope you will consider all that the teachers and counselors do for the district beyond the classroom and show us that you value and appreciate our hard work. Thank you.
That's the end of our formal requests to speak tonight. I know there are quite a few of you that have taken the time to be with us this evening. If there is anybody else that would like to share their thoughts, you're certainly welcome to at this time. Having none, then we'll continue on with the rest of our session. You know what? We're going to take just a few minutes break. Yes, please. Thank you. Okay, we will reconvene. Seems like we should be much further along, huh?
Yes.
With the approval of the agenda and consent items.
I'd like to add number 8.
At 8.
Add 8.
Add 8.
Add 8 to consent.
I would love to add 11, but I know nobody will let me. Since the teachers didn't bother to stay to hear that, we're deficit.
Yeah, and my guess is that they've read it thoroughly, understand it thoroughly, and
we should have moved it up.
acquiesce to its accuracy, and so I'm certainly willing to put it on consent.
Woo-hoo. I'm adding 11.
You want to talk about it for a minute?
Oh, no, I was looking at 8.
All right.
Can we just leave it off? There was just one quick thing I wanted
certainly
to say about 8.
But everybody okay with 11? Let's have a motion then on this, please.
I'll move as amended.
I'll second it.
It's moved and seconded. Any objections? Hearing none. Motion so ordered. We will talk about number 8.
He suggested it.
I can do it after.
I'll stay.
It
thorough, extremely thorough.
Yeah, it was good. You do it. I enjoy your reports. I really do.
item 8, the revised job description for the instructional support specialist.
I only have one issue, and I'd already talked to Debbie about it, and it was, after sitting at the table and hearing the input, one of the things that came across very strongly was that they, and then I understand from Debbie that there was other places in the report, that the interventions needed to be more closely aligned with what was happening in the classroom. And at my particular table, there was two teachers, and they were both saying it was very difficult to get those individual students' needs to that coordinate it with the after-school program. And I was wondering, it kind of looks like that's going to be happening with this job description, but I would like it a little bit more concrete so they would know that they're really going to be that liaison in between the school and the after-school program. And if they could go in and actually help the teachers coordinate getting that work there and what that should look like. And I was thinking maybe three, where it says prepares forms, records, and reports for the purpose of monitoring student achievement in intervention programs, maybe elaborated on there a little bit more. There were some other places they talked about it, too. And the other places that looked more administrative, what they were going to be doing. Well, to me, because it says coordinates regularly with the site administrators, aligns work with intervention and coaching to school-wide vision, to me that looked like more of administration, and I wanted it more hands-on, where she's going to be going into the individual classrooms and helping those teachers make the bridge in between what student needs in the classroom and what they're getting in that after-school program. And what I learned is that the teachers are actually making packets and then having to deliver them to the intervention program if they want it personalized. Well, if you have, let's say it's the younger students and you have 20 students, 7 of them need intervention, it may be some assistance in actually how to do that more efficiently. Because we want to make sure it's as individualized, especially for those populations that we're addressing. Foster care youth, English language learners, those in poverty. If we can personalize
that. It may go under number 6, where it says consult with individual teachers or grade level teams regarding next steps to support implementation. So maybe if you add, after school intervention.
Well, I would like to say on 12, we could collaborate with the site administrator and teachers to align with interventions and coaching. School-wide vision, something more specific,
let's
say, student achievement. Could be student achievement goals.
It
could be the coaching for student achievement goals instead of school-wide vision.
I wanted it to be specific so they know that that's part of the job duty. It looks like they have a lot to do.
I think with the collaboration with, you're talking specifically like the White Vision program,
right, or whatever program. Two schools don't have YACES, right? And the high schools don't have YACES. So, but there was a high school teacher who was saying that that was an issue for some. He has many students trying to make sure that the intervention after schools that were done by the schools.
We can add to it to say intervention programs.
All right, we'll look at number 4 too. Collaboration with the teaching and the available teams for co-planning, co-teaching and coaching, and designing their instruction that is aligned to the core instruction program and core curriculum standards. But it's not, this is more within the school day.
Yeah. I think it probably would be best to do consult with individual teachers and grade level teachers regarding next steps to support implementation of instructional materials and improve achievement for after-school students. Could be
at after-school programs.
And in the classroom during the regular school day and during intervention.
And I'm sorry, I didn't know where you were reading. I was
probably number 6. Consult with these individual teachers or grade level teams regarding next steps to support implementation of instructional strategies and or curriculum to improve achievement of at-risk students and English learners.
we can add there and students attending after school programs.
Right, and I want it to be some collaboration with the interventions that are going on. And one of the things that we got every year, and I know I appreciate you for really stepping up and making a difference in this area, where the teachers were saying that the interventions didn't match what the students' needs. Every year we were seeing that, and I know that we're looking at that now.
I'm wondering if
especially you coming
in looking at revising this, if it might be in two. Facilitate school-wide intervention program in English language arts, mathematics, and English language development, or a combination of these content courses. School-wide intervention programs include the facilitation of parent education workshops to support identified areas and after-school student intervention programs. Because then that would have them helping to design, in whatever capacity that is, whether it's work with the YASIS program-wide, individual students,
okay.
Or if there's not a YASIS program, the school chooses to use supplemental concentration grant funds or Title I funds to provide additional after-school intervention, they could do that. So we could use support identified areas and after-school.
What I like about that is some of our after-school intervention programs, you know, teachers have to volunteer, or they get paid, and they
right.
have to volunteer. In some schools, you have teachers who volunteer. In other schools, you have to bring in substitutes. So even for those after-school intervention programs, it may not be YASIS, but if it's a substitute that's coming in, that's one of the kids, you would need that collaboration as well.
Right, right.
You okay with that?
I'm, yes. That was the only thing I had on 8.
No, I wasn't so working on it, but I would say
number 2, adding to in and after school intervention programs. Parent education workshops, after school intervention programs to support innovative.
I mean, I know it seems redundant. A school wide intervention programs include facilitation of parent education workshops to support identified areas, and after school, I don't know how else to say it. They're intervention programs. They can be a variety of things.
And we have a variety of programs.
Just say to include.
Okay.
And what we were, over year after year, they kept saying that the interventions were not matching what the students' needs. And I know, Colleen, you were looking at that very closely. That was the first year that you were saying you noticed that too, and you were going to make a difference. And I thought, this person may be able to be responsible for it at the individual sites.
One of the challenges of this change in administration was having a more hands-on capacity with the students and intervention pieces.
We'll bring it back.
We'll bring it back. We'll work on it and bring it back.
And for number 12, did you still want to leave the and teachers? I didn't hear if there was agreement on that. That was the suggestion, collaborators regularly with site administrators and teachers to align.
I think we should.
That's fine.
Okay. I just want to remind.
We will work on it back then.
Okay. So I will move it for first reading
as
amended.
It's been moved and seconded to approve first, second read.
No, not second.
Excuse me, not second. The first reading of the revised description for the position of the instructional support specialist as presented. Any objections? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. That brings us to the end of the meeting. Any more further board discussion, questions, comments? No? Okay. We have a few dates to remember, some open houses, March 25th Board of Education meeting, and there being no further business to come before the board, the meeting is adjourned at 8:42.